Hello, everyone. I'm Vasilis Kemerlis. I'm from Columbia University. The title of my talk today is Red to Deer, Rethinking Kernel Isolation. And this is joint work with Michalis Polyfrenakis and Angelos Keromitis. So this talk is about kernel exploitation. So I'm going to start by giving a brief overview of how kernel exploits work. And I'm going to talk about return to user attacks. These attacks are one of the most popular ways to exploit kernels, and if not the most popular way, and they work against operating system kernels that have a shared kernel user address space layout. They work by overwriting code or data pointers with user space addresses after exploiting a kernel memory corruption vulnerability, and their goal is to host the payload, whether this is shell code, raw payload, or tampered with data structures in user space, and execute it or reference it from the kernel context. These have been the de facto kernel exploitation technique. They are used in multiple operating systems, such as Windows and Linux, and they're also applicable in multiple architectures. And they are used in the wild for most than a decade. Now, the reason that these attacks work is because the address space separation between kernel and user land is weak. The kernel is protected from user land, typically by using a combination of hardware features, such as the memory management unit and the protection modes in the CPU. But when the kernel is executing, it has complete and unrestricted access to the whole address space. And the problem is that part of this address space is controlled by the attacker, so both in terms of contents and permissions. So since this problem has been with us for a while, there have been quite some there have been proposed various systems, techniques, and even hardware features to deal with it. KernExec and UDREF are two features that belong to the PAX patchset, and they provide protection from return-to-user attacks in Linux, in x86, both in 32 and 64 bits, and in 32-bit ARM. KGuard is a system that we presented 2 years ago here in Usenix. KGuard tries to solve this problem in a more generic way. It leverages the compiler, and therefore it's cross-platform and cross-OS. And lately, Intel introduced two hardware features, namely the SMAP and SMAP hardware feature, to help operating systems deal with this problem. And shortly after, ARM introduced PXN, which is the equivalent of SMAP. Now, all these techniques provide their protections using different means, and I'm not going to get through the details of how they work, but more or less the properties that they're trying to enforce are similar, are the same. KernExec, KGuard, SMAP, and PXM, what they try to do is that they try to restrict the kernel into executing instructions that belong only in kernel space. So they try to protect the kernel from branching in user space and executing shell code from there. Whereas UDREF and SMAP focus on data accesses. They protect the kernel from accessing user space in arbitrary ways. So in this work, we focus on these return-to-user defenses, and essentially we want to ask two questions. The first one is whether we can subvert them, whether we can force the kernel to still execute or access user-controlled code or data. The second question is whether there are certain design choices or optimizations that the kernel is making that weaken the strong separation of address spaces that these protection mechanisms offer. So Red to Deer, or Return to Direct Map Memory, it's a new attack against hardened kernels that bypasses all the proposed Red to User protection schemes. And the attack is general enough such as any Return to User exploit can be converted to an equivalent Red to Deer exploit that bypasses the protection that blocked that exploit. Now, we study this problem mainly in Linux, but it's also applicable in other operating systems. We chose Linux because it provided a very nice testbed for us, because all these protections were available there. And because Linux, it's an operating system that drives millions of devices and hosts out there, so the impact of this attack in that operating system is much, much higher. So to understand how the attack works, first we need to take a look at how kernel space, what's the internal layout of kernel space. A kernel space is divided into various regions, and every region serves a particular purpose. Some of these regions are used to implement dynamic memory. Some others are used to host the kernel text and the data segments, others to load modules, and so on. Now, for this talk, what's interesting is a region called FISMAP, which includes a direct mapping of all the physical memory in the system. Now, in this particular case, where the layout shown in the slide is from the 64-bit Linux, the FISMAP region occupies 64 terabytes, and as is the case with many x86 systems, you're not going to find more than 64 terabytes of RAM. So the whole memory is going to be directly mapped inside that region. Now, the functionality, FISMAP plays an important role into the performance of the kernel because it's a fundamental building block for dynamic kernel memory. Kmalloc, the slab allocators, and various other kernel memory allocators are essentially laid over FISMAP. And this design was chosen mainly for three purposes. The kernel can allocate and deallocate memory without altering page tables, which guarantees minimum latency in certain fast path operations and less TLB pressure. This design also guarantees that virtually contiguous memory in FISMAP, it's also physically contiguous, which allows us to do a kmalloc and then assign that memory into a device for DMA, and if that device doesn't know about virtual memory, this thing can still work. And page frame accounting is very easy under that scheme because you can go from a page frame number to a virtual address and vice versa only by doing arithmetic operations and logical shifts. Now, what's the problem with that design? The problem is that given that the existence of FISMAP and that the whole memory is directly mapped inside the kernel, every time a page frame is assigned to user space and it's mapped to a particular user space address, we end up with address aliasing. We now have two different virtual addresses that map to the same physical page frame. And the problem is that these two different virtual addresses also cross different security domains. One is in user space and one is in kernel space. So how the attacker can use that? Well, he can use the user space address to copy its payload, and again, whatever is that payload, shell code, raw payload or whatever, somewhere in main memory, and then reference that payload using the kernel synonym that resides, that falls inside the FISMAP region. So if then he goes ahead and exploits a kernel and corrupts a kernel or a kernel code pointer or a data pointer with that address, then all the Red2 user protection schemes will not complain because that address falls inside the kernel space. Now, in order to do that attack, we need to essentially solve the problem that for every user address, we need to have a way to find what's the synonym of that address in kernel space. To answer this, an answer to this problem, we turn to the usual suspect, the procfs file system. Procfs has an interface available through procpid pagemap, where PID is the process ID of a particular process. And that interface exports the page table to user space for debugging purposes. This thing has a 64-bit value for every virtual page, indexed by virtual page number. And among other things that are inside the 64-bit value is also the page frame number that maps virtual page. So in other words, what we can do here is that we can do a simple query, and for every user address, we can get the page frame information that this user address maps to. Then what we can do is the following. FISMAP has different characteristics in different architectures, but for every instance of the same architecture, the size of the FISMAP and the starting address of FISMAP remain the same. So in other words, they're not affected by KSLR, for instance. And in the table here, in this slide, you can see the starting addresses for different architectures and configurations. Now recall that FISMAP maps the main memory in a direct fashion. So the starting address corresponds to the first page frame, then follows the next page frame, and so on and so forth. So if we have the page frame number for a particular user space address, what we can do is that we can multiply that by page size, add the starting offset, and then end up with the address that we want. So by having a user space address where the payload resides, we only need a lookup in proc and then stick the result into that formula and compute the kernel address that we can now corrupt the kernel with and go around all the Red2 user protection mechanisms. Now the question is, what happens if page frame information is not available? What if we compile our kernel so as not to have offer this interface, or what if we restrict access to that? Will this solution make the attack go away? Well, the answer is unfortunately no. In this case, we can still perform the attack, but instead of doing it in a deterministic way, we can do it probabilistically. We call this FISMAP spraying, and it's very similar to how heap spraying works. The idea is to pollute FISMAP with aligned copies of the exploit payload, and we do that by allocating memory in user space and copying the exploit payload there again and again. And this will result into having the payload into as many pages as we coveted inside FISMAP. And then we pick an arbitrary page-aligned FISMAP address, and we use that as the synonym of our payload. Now, based on in how many pages we managed to copy that inside the FISMAP region, then there is a probability of succeeding. And in our experiments, this can be as high as 0.95. So to evaluate this attack, what we did was that we took 8 publicly available exploits for Linux. We also took the latest kernel series that was available when we did this. And since no exploit was available for that, we inserted an artificial vulnerability and we wrote a custom exploit. And by the way, all these exploits follow the return to user approach. So we tested those exploits to verify that they indeed work. Then we, for every kernel, we turned on all the available return-to-user protections that we could. We tested the exploits again and verified that all of them are blocked. And then we went and modified each one of them to use the techniques that I talked about before and tested them again. And in all cases, we managed to bypass all the deployed return-to-user protection schemes. So next is how we defend against this thing. We also have in our paper a defense for return-to-dir attacks. Essentially what we did was that we extended the body allocator, which is the allocator in Linux that provides page frames, with a thin management layer that enforces a property that we call exclusive page frame ownership, or XPFO in short. What this means is that every page frame can only now be assigned either to kernel space or user space, but never in both, unless only the kernel explicitly requests that to implement, let's say, zero copy buffers. So every time a page frame is allocated to userland, we find the synonym of that page frame inside FISMAP, and we unmap it from there. And when page frames are reclaimed, we put it back. So with this technique, we make sure that the kernel allocators are not affected. They still get all these nice properties of direct map memory, no page table manipulation, no TLB pressure, you know, and all these things, at the cost of some extra overhead whenever page frames are allocated or reclaimed from user processes, which is, however, a philosophy that aligns very well with the demand paging and copy and write techniques that are used in order to provide page frames in user space. We evaluated XPFO using a combination of micro and macro benchmarks from the Foronix test suite. Most of these benchmarks are also used by kernel developers to track performance regressions. The overhead ranges from 0.80% to 2.91%. So we think that it's acceptable, this overhead. So to conclude, the one big takeout message from this talk is that FISMAP regions in kernel space are a bad idea. Why is that? Because they allow an attack such as return-to-dir to happen, which deconstructs the isolation guarantees of various return-to-user protections. I also discussed a solution to this problem, XPFO, which provides a defense against return-to-dir attacks with low overhead. And finally, I would like to note that we will make the XPFO patch and all the modified exploits available in the URL at the bottom of the slide sometime next week. And with that, I can take questions.
So I'll start things off with a question. So the defense that you have works except for these pages where the kernel explicitly needs to set up sharing for like the zero copy buffers.
Mm-hmm.
How common is that? And is that exposing an attack path?
So there are many cases actually that the kernel needs to implement some form of zero copy behavior. I think that the most common case is the page cache. And yes, indeed, opens again another way to inject content inside kernel space. But you have many of them, right? You can use a pipe instead. You can do pretty much many things. But yeah, in terms of this particular defense, I think one thing that we do not currently deal with is the page gas. So every time there is an I/O and blocks are fetched from a device, they're placed in that gas, and this is directly mapped with to every user process. So yeah.
Question.
Hi, Hybert Vijay Kumar, Samsung. My understanding is that this is just another way for user space processes to get arbitrary data into the kernel so that they can then execute it. Mm-hmm. Will not. So you've compared your technique against previous return to user protections, but what about protections that are for kernel data? So they can verify that the data that is being, for kernel code, so they can verify that the code being executed is of high integrity. Wouldn't those stop your attack?
Sure. I mean, if you have ways to confine the kernel into not branching anywhere apart the places that it should be branching anyway, if you have CFI, for instance, yeah, you don't need all this. But the kernels that we consider don't have that right now.
I see. Yeah, I was not talking about CFI specifically, but about kernel code integrity checking in general.
Sure. But again, commodity operating systems don't have that right now. So.
Okay, thank you.
Time for one last question.
Robert Gavlik from University Bochum. I have a question about other operating systems. What about Windows? Are these type of attacks also possible in Windows? Is this kind of mapping also available in the Windows kernel? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, FISMAP regions exist in some form in many operating systems. Windows also have a page cache, for instance, so you definitely have a way to have content that is shared between user space and kernel space. Now, other operating systems that have a kind of almost the same problem is Solaris, both in the Sun, in the Spark architecture and in x86-64, there are regions that directly map the whole memory, as is the case with Linux. So you can see that this thing of directly mapping the whole memory, it's not a feature that one operating system chose to do. It's a design pattern, and this is what we try to raise awareness here with this work.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. Let's thank our speaker again.